Straight Tuesday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. We are on the road at Grand Canyon University. Pump Site Geek, it's always good to be at GCU. We have Talk to the Lopes coming up at about 45 minutes from now. Trent May, the women's basketball coach at GCU, he will be with us in about 30 minutes from now. Working in reverse order today. Dr. Robert Shelton. Robert Shelton resigned from the Fiesta Bowl, took them out of the dark ages, and today out of the blue, boom, gone. See you later. Very surprising, big story with the Fiesta Bowl getting a national championship game. And out of the blue, Dr. Robert Shelton leaving. Corey Chavis is going to join us in about 15 minutes with DraftNasty.com, the president, with the NFL draft coming up and several players, Kadeem Carey leaving U of A, Carl Bradford leaving ASU, the draft order for the Arizona Cardinals will go around the draft. We are Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. It doesn't matter to me if I'm here at GCU on campus with the students and the fans with Dan Marley's program or talking about what's going on the college football front, the pro basketball front. The Suns were pretty good last night. Amari Stoudemire was really hard to watch him. It's just good to be out. And GCU, a great partner with us. They have lots of cool things here on campus that we will get to with you. And again, Talk to the Lopes with Trent May comes up in about 45 minutes. Senior Executive Vice President of Nothing or Everything, depending on the day, is Eric Sorensen back in our studios. Of course, we're on White Mountain Radio. We're on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat, and our website is sports360az.com. Are you surprised by Robert Shelton leaving, by the way?
Completely blown away. It came as news to me from the time I got in my car until the time I got to the studios that Dr. Shelton is no longer going to be with the Fiesta Bowl. He did a tremendous job getting the ship righted, as they say, and interesting timing. Not the best timing, as you mentioned, with a BCS championship right around the corner out here in Glendale.
So I have to piece this together, Eric. I mean, something. It sounds like a really cool job. He's a scientist. He's just got a lot of things going for him other than sports, and that's fine. And that's fine. He was really doing the business side of sports. But when you think of people in the Valley or people across the state of Arizona that were power brokers or influential in the sports landscape, Robert Shelton would have to be right alongside of the sports owners in the Valley. He'd have to be right alongside of them because when you think of the magnitude of what the Fiesta Bowl is able to do, I know that he's been pushing to bring a Final Four here and has been part of that group. I'm sure the Fiesta Bowl, now that they've gone through the dark times, that's really just blowing me away. I know I'm taking away from your Facebook time, so go ahead. Do your question. Fire away.
Well,
let me have it.
Today, Brad, as you know, Ken Wisenhunt, back in the news yesterday, it was announced that he will not be the new head coach of the Detroit Lions, as many speculated. He is now the new boss in Tennessee, taking over the Titans. Today's Facebook question is, during his 6 years here in Arizona, Wiz won a franchise-best 49 games. So today we ask you, true or false, Wiz will equal or eclipse those 49 wins in Nashville as head coach of the Titans. Head over to facebook.com/sports360az, like our page, share your input. Had to do something Ken Wisenhunt today, and we tied it back locally with the Cardinals.
So I guess you're wondering if he's going to do a better job in Tennessee. So think of the division that they're in versus the division. Remember, when Wiz was in Arizona, the NFC West was the NFC worst. So he was at a time where things went really well for him in terms of the division that he was in. The teams were down. He's going into a division that, boy, you could make the argument it's on an upswing. I don't know. That's a good one. I do like that one. Facebook.com. Head over to Facebook.com. Answer Eric's Facebook question of the day. Let's get you caught up now. Some of the things going on in my mind in the world of sports. And it's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. We have some big news on the Honda Resort and Casino front. And that is the winter games that are scheduled for 2 weeks from now. Postpone. You can't do winter games if you don't have snow. That's just the way it is. And the winter games with the sled dog mushing and all the sled dog races and all the kids stuff. The Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. Going to be taking place now next month. More details to come. But you have to have snow to have winter games, right? You can still go to the Honda Resort and Casino for great fun, great entertainment. And, of course, you're in the cool pines, the high country, the White Mountains. It's all at the Honda Resort and Casino. They've been part of what we've been about for 3 years now. That's the Honda Resort and Casino. So here at Grand Canyon University, we'll do Talk to the Lopes here in about 45 minutes. And you never know who we just made, bop on by. Some of the other things going on that have caught my eye today in Arizona sports, we talked about Dr. Shelton resigning, and he's going to join us in about 20 minutes on the future of the Fiesta Bowl and why he's leaving and the setback I think it is for college football. Ken Wisenhunt, Eric talked about it. So he leaves San Diego. He was here in Arizona. I remember when Wiz left here, there were so many people that were saying, we got to get ourselves a new coach. His time had run out. I think it had run its course. All of us can say that at points in time in our career, that time had run its course. I could even say it here at Grand Canyon University. Russ Pennell had done a nice job with basketball. Now Dan Marley's here. Time had run its course. I think we may be seeing the same sort of thing this coming baseball season with Gibby and the Diamondbacks. If they get off to a slow start, time will have run its course. Robert Shelton came in to do a cleanup crew over at the Fiesta Bowl. For him, looks like time has run its course. But Ken Wisenhunt taking the Tennessee Titans job. It's got all the NFL folks talking across the country. Why Wiz would pick Tennessee over the Lions? Here's Solomon Wilcox, one of the top analysts at the NFL Network, on Wiz going to Tennessee.
When you look at the players, for coaches, players are like assets. The quarterback, Matthew Stafford in Detroit. You already mentioned Reggie Bush. How about Calvin Johnson? There is no receiver like that on the Tennessee Titans roster. You go on the defensive side of the ball, you get an interior defensive lineman like Ndamukong Suh to go along with Nick Fairley. This one really shocks me more than anything. So I can't wait to hear and see what Ken Wisenhunt has to say as to why he took the job.
That's Solomon Wilcox on why the job there. So he leaves, and now there's other coaching jobs, and there's going to be some tie-in. I think John Lott, you could look at John Lott, is very close to Ken Wisenhunt. We haven't heard much from John Lott since Bruce Arians came here, so wondering if John Lott may have seen, who was very popular with the Cardinals, if it's time for him to go another direction. So there's that going on. The Suns last night, and let's get over to them. First of all, I'm watching Amari Stoudemire last night, and he can barely get up and down the court. It's the end of the career. Eric, did you see any of the Suns game last night against the Knicks?
I didn't catch a lot of it. I just saw the highlights. But, yeah, that's been sort of a common theme for Amari. He does not have the lift nor the explosion that he – even close to what he had when he played here in Phoenix.
No. The lift that he has is him jumping off a curb. That's his vertical jump. He can't jump. There was a stretch last night where they had him out on the floor in the third quarter where Gerald Green was getting rebounds and Goran Dragic was getting rebounds away from Amari Stoudemire. He was just standing there. It's hard to watch guys towards the end of their career. And for everybody who ripped Robert Sarver for letting Amari go, this is one of the few with Robert that I've agreed with him. From day one, I said it's the right move to let Amari go. Absolutely the right move. Could you imagine if they had a six-year, $100 million deal hanging around their neck with Amari right now? They'd be done for two, three more years. It just wasn't good. Last night late, it was Carmelo Anthony doing what Carmelo does against the Suns. It's not passing, by the way. Here's Carmelo Anthony.
Anthony back to the rim, faces on Tucker, turns his back on him, backs him down, spinning, hanging, fade, puts it down, right baseline from 15. That is a big-time shot from Anthony to give the Knicks a five-point lead.
And the Suns hung in there, but they ended up losing in overtime by two. Leandro Barbosa looks like somebody the Suns should sign for the rest of the season. He had 19 second-half points, played really well. Suns meet the Lakers tomorrow night, that game in downtown Phoenix. And it's the last game of the Lakers being here for the year. So we don't get to see any more Lakers and none of this beat L.A. stuff. And both teams, well, especially the Lakers, they're not very good. The Coyotes got ripped last night by Winnipeg 5-1. I don't know what's going on that front. We've got some news of Phil Mickelson I'll get to a little bit later on. On the college football front, so ASU loses Carl Bradford. He did announce that he's taking off. The NFL looked at him and said, look, you're going to be a second-round pick. And he did the right thing by saying, it's time for me to get out of here. That's a real big blow to Arizona State football. I mean, the more that they've lost here in this offseason on defense, the more you'd have to look at ASU next year and pick them probably, if we're doing it today, probably, I don't know, it's third or fourth within all the schools within the Pac-12. But if you're doing Pac-12 South, I'd say ASU right now has got to be behind UCLA. And U of A loses Kadeem Carey. He heads off to the NFL. That was no surprise on that front. Here at Grand Canyon University, we do the show. It's good to have Talk to the Lopes. We'll have Trent May talk to the Lopes every week. Trent May, the women's basketball coach, comes up in about 45 minutes. Dr. Robert Shelton resigning from the Fiesta Bowl in about 15. But up next, we switch gears here at GCU over to the NFL draft. Corey Chavis, draftnasty.com, one of the best in the business at what he does. Okay, so guys are leaving U of A, ASU, and nationally. Where does he rank Kadeem Carey? Where does he rank the Cardinals and what direction they should go? That's next as we talk draft from Grand Canyon University. I'm Brad Susmat, sports360az.com. Let's talk NFL draft for a couple of minutes. Brad Susmat, sports360az.com. Doing our thing from Grand Canyon University today. Shifting gears now, because there's a lot going on in our great state. Corey Chavis, the former Arizona Cardinal, the president of DraftNasty.com. Always good to get it broken down from Corey Chavis, with fans going apoplectic on the Arizona State end with the news that Carl Bradford is leaving and turning pro, along with all the other losses, and then Kadeem Carey leaving the U of A. What are the Cardinals going to do? Where are all these ASU players lining up from Corey's view? Good to have Corey back on the show. How are you, Corey?
I'm doing well, man. Just got to working out. So you're catching me at a good time, man. I took a little break to work out. Got to stay in shape.
Could you play today if somebody called?
No, man. I mean, that's funny, actually. I mean, I think that what people fail to realize, and you saw it with a little bit in last weekend's game with Percy Harvin, it's not that you may not physically be in shape, but the contact speed, and plus the fact there's a five-year gap where the players have gotten faster, stronger, and, you know, sometimes you see those older players struggle to transition to the new crop of players. I think, you know, the league is transitional, and you have to kind of understand the pulse of it. So, no, I couldn't play.
Not even close. That's fine. I mean, you're doing great with what you're doing. We appreciate you coming on. So let's go through this and start with Arizona State. They lose Carl Bradford yesterday. Was he ready for the NFL? What do you think of Carl Bradford turning pro?
Well, I don't know if he'll get any bigger. And I think that's the number one thing. And, you know, obviously I believe that he was talented enough before the year. We actually graded him before the year. And, you know, obviously the when you combine what he did in 2012, the 11.5 quarterback sacks. But beyond that, I think the fact that they've used him as a spot linebacker, middle linebacker on third downs, you know, he redirects his course pretty naturally. I think, you know, sometimes he can get caught playing a little bit sideways versus the run, trying to hold the edge. I think the question for NFL teams is, can this guy play an exchange linebacker spot? Because they have shown him doing that a little bit in the last couple of years. It only helps his evaluation. And he has tremendous, tremendous athleticism. I watched him in the bowl game. I covered his bowl game. He made a tackle in the backfield, and it just flipped up on his feet from his back, you know, like he was in the Karate Kid or something. So he's a good athlete.
Well, we remember a play last year against USC that he made that was an amazing interception and leaping in the air and a great play. And I think it's a huge loss because there's so many players on that side of the ball leaving Todd Graham's program. Take me over to Will Sutton, because at the start of the year there was a lot of talk about his weight. Where do you see Will Sutton right now?
I'll tell you what, I mean, he's a guy that has tremendous, obviously everybody knows about the effort. I didn't think he looked real good against Stanford. You know, and watching the end zone copy of that game, I felt like there were some times where he got a little bit manhandled. Even my Kevin Dancer, who some people don't feel like is, you know, probably like as much as I do, the right guard from Stanford. And then when you go into some of the matchups, even the last matchup he had against Carpenter, getting turned out, and obviously Texas Tech, they use those wide splits, but a lot of times being able to seal him off in some of their inside run game with Williams. So, I think Sutton, I love the effort. Almost blocked the punt, actually, late in that Holiday Bowl game, showing the effort there. And even late in the fourth quarter, still playing very hard. I think he's a player that's going to get some attention on the second day.
Corey, there's been some people that have said Will Sutton, John Randall. Do you see any of that?
He's not as explosive as John Randall, but he does have some explosion. I thought the thing that hurt him this year was, I think he may be concentrating on that a little too much, and I do think there have been some weight gains. You can see that in terms of, I mean, he's a guy that even though he's put on the weight, he still moves better than most threes, but you just wonder whether or not he really can sit in the ground and hold a dull. Is he a natural quick twitch three where he can get, you know, five, six, seven, eight sacks a year like a Gerald McCoy. You know, I don't know if he's that. But I think he's a guy that can come in and be productive at the three technique. I don't know that he can move over to the shaded one right now.
Corey Chavis, DraftNasty.com, president, just off a workout. He says he can't play in the NFL anymore. It's fine. We break down players. It's always good to have some fun with Corey on the show with Brad Sussmat. And we'll go big picture ASU. I'm curious about Chris Coyle because tight ends have come through. We saw Zach Miller last weekend at Seattle, of course, Todd Heap. Tight ends at Arizona State have had a good run. Where's Chris Coyle line up for the next level?
Well, I mean, I think with him, it's going to come down to whether or not in the workouts he can show some the burst that he sometimes, to me, didn't show. You know, because if you go back to 2012, I was very impressed. He's obviously their move guy, a guy they kind of use like an H-back, you know, a lot of times moving him in yo-yo motion, then he'll split out in the slot. And he's very athletic catching the football. I think everybody knows that. And he's a pretty nifty runner after the catch. He's not a very powerful blocker. His head will get leaning at the point of attack. But what he does do a pretty good job of is being able to climb up and do some space arc blocking if he's in a U-off position as from the wide tight end. So I do think Chris Coyle has a future. I just don't know if he'll get drafted. Certainly, he'll probably get some looks late.
Marion Grice gets injured late in the year. I liked how he got better and better, stronger and stronger. Marion Grice, your breakdown.
You know, well, the one thing that I was happy about with him was his willingness to go to the ground as a pass blocker. I don't think he, you know, has really what you would consider the natural base to be able to stand up and do that. If he tried to connect high, when I watched him on tape, sometimes in the A and the B gaps, he can't stick on the blitzer, even though he would go ahead and face him up. Now, in terms of being able to come out of the backfield and catch the football, as good as anybody in the country, I think he has good play speed and he carries his pads. I think ultimately for him, you know, that health issue that came up late in the year, that'll be something he'll carry as a tag now into the NFL.
You look around the rest of ASU's roster, and I could go through Chris Young and Erebor, and I could talk about, you know, the future of Jalen Strong or Taylor Kill. I could go on and on with you. But just give me, if there's anybody else I'm leaving off the board for this year's class that you're looking at saying, boy, Brad, keep an eye on this Sun Devil.
You know, the one guy that returns kicks for him, and I think he's gone. I don't think he has under years, is number 9, Robert Nelson. I mean, I just, you know, he makes some errors in coverage, but the athleticism is there. You know, he kind of has the movement of a Jonathan Joseph. You saw that, you know, when he ended up cluing the quarterback, Sean Mannion from Oregon State, on the out route and picked it to the house. You see him get beaten sometimes, but he will high point the ball down the field. Just the technique with him is going to have to improve a little bit too much skit in his bailing techniques. And then I think you have to look at Devon Coleman. I think he's somebody that's one of those guys you kind of forget about. And then all of a sudden he can end up maybe sticking as a priority free agent in camp. And they've got some other guys, too. I don't want to forget about Evan Finkenberg, who I think, you know, he's probably a guard at the next level, even though he played left tackle for them. So those are just some of the names that come to mind. And even Cody Kobinski, the center, he did some things that interested me on tape. A little bit undersized. Again, you're probably looking at, you know, can he get into camp?
Shoot over to U of A. You weren't surprised Kadeem Carey turned pro, I'm sure.
No, I wasn't. I thought it was time for him to go pro. You wonder about the number of carries he has, and 196 pounds, whether or not he'll be able to continue to be, you know, what he's been in college, which has been a workhorse. But the thing about him, you know, we talked about blocking with Grice. This guy really doesn't mind blocking. You know, he's even led up as a blocker for his teammates. And anytime you have a guy who's a mismatch working in the slot against linebackers, he may be able to stay on the field. Now, I think he's probably going to be about, I would say he'll probably end up weighing in around 210 come combine time. So it's just to be a matter of whether or not he can actually maintain that and still run and do his quickness drills well.
Well, it's interesting you bring up the number of carries because I was wondering about that too. There's only so much tread on running back's shelf life, and we see it going down every year in the NFL. Is that a big red flag, the number of carries that he had in that system?
Well, I think a little bit of it is. I mean, I think when you talk about the number here, the one thing that helps is that he doesn't always take, with the way they ran the system, he doesn't always take big shots. So that does help. And he's very tough to contact, you know, cleanly, because it seems like he's always taking away half of his frame as he's running and getting north-south. He can make his cuts without having to chop, which is something that'll keep you from getting contact. But when he does get contacted or connected on, he has a tendency to keep turning his legs, and that's where you worry about that extra contact. And in fact, you can't forget, in 2011, it was a guy who's got some added kick returns on his resume as well.
No, that's true. No, that's a good point, Corey. Corey Chavis, DraftNasty.com, the president. Of course it's a good point. It's Corey. He's breaking it down for us. Anybody else with U of A, because all the focus has been on Kadeem Carey, that you really like?
Well, there's a couple guys. Marquise Flowers, a guy who's played some safety. I'm sure you're very familiar with him. You know, moved a linebacker, obviously, after playing safety. Didn't always see it in the briar patch. You know, but the thing about him, you know, if you go back to the USC game in 2012, two interceptions. If you can provide that type of athleticism in this new age NFL, and you're a guy that can feel versus the fullback, as I've seen him do, and spill with his inside shoulder, has a pretty good power step, doesn't always unload through the lower half, but that's something you'll work on with him as a linebacker. Can he be a rush linebacker for you? I think he's somebody to watch. And then they've got some other guys. Shaquille Richardson came on this year. Obviously, the problems at UCLA earlier in his career, able to settle down here. And didn't really come all the way into his own until this year with consistency. Probably, again, you're looking at a late-round guy. And then a couple other guys, I think, that to you know pay some attention to. Reggie Gilbert, he's only a junior. Can he take the next step in 2014? Terrence Miller, too.
Corey, as always.
I think he's somebody else that I forgot to mention. I don't want to forget him.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time, as always. Look forward to catching up with you down the road. We'll be at the Combine. We'll hopefully see you there.
Oh, man, thank you so much for having me, man. You have a great one.
You got it, Corey, as always. It's great. At Corey Chavis, DraftNasty.com. Breaking it down, DraftNasty.com. Corey Chavis, appreciate his time. We're at Grand Canyon University. Brad Sussmat with you. Don't forget, this Friday night here at GCU, wrestling against Northern Colorado. The men's basketball team is here a week from Thursday against Idaho. On the other side, Dr. Robert Shelton joins us live. He resigned this morning from the Fiesta Bowl. Why? Where's he going? About the future of the bowl. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat at Grand Canyon University. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ.com. Today, live at Grand Canyon University. Always good to be here at GCU as they continue to grow by leaps and bounds. So, I'm in a very fine mood today. I get set up for the show and my phone starts to blow up. Dr. Shelton resigned at the Fiesta Bowl, to which I was going to reply, hey, it's only January 14th, not April 1st. This should not be an April Fool's Day joke. And then, lo and behold, I make a couple calls, and sure enough, Dr. Robert Shelton resigns from the Fiesta Bowl as executive director, where he has done, I've said, he has been as influential in the Arizona sports landscape, taking a huge event through the darkest of dark times and navigating through it. He's brought in some great people to help him out. He's walking away. He joins me live for a couple of minutes on the show. I'm not happy today. What gives? Is something that I said to you over the holidays? What's the story here?
Hey, Brad. Well, first, thanks for having me on the show. And I hope this won't be the last time we have a chance to talk. I really value the interactions that we've had over the years. But, you know, this is a good time for the bowl. When I signed on 2.5 years ago, the board gave me a certain set of goals they wanted to achieve, and we've really knocked those out of the park. I say we because while I've been fortunate enough to be the face and the voice of the Fiesta Bowl, you know it takes a great staff and it takes the backing of the board to do it all.
When did this first start to percolate in your mind?
Well, you know, as we kept knocking off these goals, I've been in touch with the leadership of the board, and we've been talking off and on about whether we should transition, whether we should continue through the full 4 years of my contract. And we really just this last week thought, you know, this is the right time. And combine that with the opportunity I have now to take on the presidency of a group called Research Corporation for Science Advancement. They're Tucson-based, New York chartered, 101-year-old organization that gets me back to my roots in supporting young people in science. It just seemed like the ideal mate for me and for the bowl.
Dr. Robert Shelton with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes, sports360az.com, Arizona-centric, on a day where, on one hand, I'm sad to see this. On the other hand, it reads like a really cool job. And as you and I have visited, as you've said through the years, I've seen that there's a lot more to you than balls and bats and sticks and all that stuff, that a Tucson-based research corporation for science advancement. It's a nice big title, a nice big company. It's been around. Tell me more about that.
Well, it is a small organization. It's lean and mean. We've got about 10 employees, a board that has distinguished scientists around the country. The chair of the board is at Ohio State University, for example. I've known about it since I was a young physicist, because what they do is they support young scientists when they're having trouble getting that first grant out of a federal agency because it's so competitive. They have supported, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 Nobel Prize winners over the years to help them get their launch. It is 101 years old. The only older organization of its ilk is the Carnegie Foundation. And so it is a real honor for me to be their next president.
And so as you go to that and you look at what you've been able and your team's been able to accomplish, as I said off the top, it was very dark when you came here. You've been able to push it forward. You're leaving at a time where the national title game is here. I guess I'm just wondering, why not see it through the national title game, Robert? I'm not trying to get into your career path, but a national title game to just walk away from that, I'm just stunned by the timing.
Well, Brad, in some ways, you know, whenever you're in a great job, you always have things that are pending, activities that are still ongoing. You never reach closure on everything. Otherwise, you're not in a good job. You're not in a challenging job. And so from that perspective, you're always going to have activities going forward. I'm going to step inside. I've got a little bit of a truck action here.
No worries. It's live. It's
fine. So the timing makes sense in that we really have secured both our host bowl status and the champ game. There's a lot more work to be done, but we've got a great team in place to do that work. And the opportunity for me is a good one. And I think the bowl is in a very, very good place, again, with tremendous staff and a set of volunteers that's second to none.
Will you weigh in or be a part of the process for your replacement?
If the board would like, I'd be happy to do that. I can always make certain suggestions. I've told them, and they've told me, that we ought to stay in touch. Certainly, you know, all transitions take time, right? You just don't have an instantaneous. There'll be email coming in. There'll be meetings that'll be set up. And I've given a 2-page list to Dwayne Woods, who will step in on an interim basis, of all those pending activities. But, you know, each one of those activities has not just me, but one of my top staff members on point. So there's no institutional loss of memory or knowledge here.
Sure, sure. And what advice would you have for that person taking your job?
Yeah, the first thing the new person should do is get to know the staff. They are truly outstanding. They are second to none, and they will provide that kind of knowledge and guidance that is necessary. Secondly, I think you need to continue in the vein that we've set up, working with you and other people in the media, of communicating, of just being right up front about what's happening, about where we're going, about our joys and our frustrations, because everybody has those in life. And I think if they do that, if they communicate well, and they value the staff and make sure that that staff is empowered to go out and do what they do best, this organization's in good shape.
What are you most proud of as you walk out the door?
I think I'm most proud of the relationships that we've built with people, whether it's internal or external. I mean, that's what it's all about in life. You know, you win a contract here or you get a reward there, but it's really all about the relationships that you develop. And I think that's the way the founders started. They built this organization on strong relationships throughout the valley, and I think we have those now.
I'll let you go off that, and I do want to take you up on your offer down the road to meet up. It would be fun to break
Excellent.
Bread and get caught up and see you on your way and me and mine. So I appreciate you joining me on short notice today, and best of luck to you.
Thank you, Brad. Always appreciate it.
That's Dr. Robert Shelton resigning today, Fiesta Bowl Executive Director. If I sound a little melancholy about Robert Shelton walking away from the Fiesta Bowl, it's because it's a bombshell here in town. And I really appreciate good executives. We've had some executives that have rolled through the Arizona sports landscape that have been abysmal, that have been a train wreck, that have run programs into the ditch. We've had ownership that wasn't committed to winning. We have had ownership that has sat there and drugged their feet on things. The Fiesta Bowl is in the biggest scandal that we've had here in my opinion, outside of the point shaving deal with ASU basketball and the drug scandal with the Suns. If you think about the scandals that we've had here, Robert inherited something that was very good for the community. Some people don't like bowl games. They get all worked up over bowl games or this. I don't think they're really in touch with bowl games. I don't really think they are. And I would see Robert Shelton walk up to the backup players on these teams that would roll through, whether it was the Wild Wings Bowl or the Fiesta Bowl, and get to know them and talk to them, not sit over in the corner on his BlackBerry doing business. He actually really liked the whole experience of talking to a 19, 20, 21-year-old about what makes them tick. And it wasn't gratuitous. You just walk over there and sit and talk to these kids for 10, 15 minutes at a time, not just one, but more than a handful. And his staff raved about him and the job that he did in bringing back something that was a sinking ship. And good for him. The person that follows him has got a big job because they've inherited something now that is back on the right track. We have a national title game coming here. Robert was able to get that. The Final Four, I didn't even talk to him about that. He's been a part of that process quietly behind the scenes. There's other people in town that are doing that. The Sun Devil Stadium situation with the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. The stadium's been inadequate. Stadium's a dump. Stadium needs to be fixed. I didn't hear much, if anything, never heard anything from Robert about the whole situation over there. Working with the Cardinals. The Fiesta Bowl and the Cardinals hated each other. I mean, hated each other. They'll deny it publicly, but privately, if they're being truthful, there was just animosity there. I think Robert mended some fences on that front. And his staff, too. So, hey, on the other side, we switch gears here at Grand Canyon University. Trent May, the women's basketball coach, they've done a great job. And Trent's just one of these guys. You know, Charlie gets a lot of credit over at ASU. Charlie's been a fan of Trent's. Trent is a fan of Charlie's. But now they're on equal footing in Division I, and he's got his own program to build, and he's doing that. And they're doing a great job. He joins me next here at Grand Canyon University. Talk to the Lopes, as we do every week on campus today. Brad Sussmat, Trent May's next. On the campus of Grand Canyon University, Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. And it's time for Talk to the Lopes, as we do every week. Look forward to this segment on White Mountain Radio, on Twitter, on Facebook, online at our website, Sports360AZ.com, and, of course, GCU.edu. It's always good to have people from Talk to the Lopes around campus. This week it's Trent May, the women's basketball coach. Women's basketball program has had themselves a very good season, but as we're talking off the air, you're in a bye week. I thought bye weeks were only in football.
Yeah, I thought so too. I think it's the new kid on the block, and as far as the conference is concerned, they're giving you more time to prepare.
Yeah. How is your season going?
It's going really well. We've had a lot of fun, and you know, you hear a lot of interesting issues and concepts moving into D1. Talked to a lot of coaches out there, and I think there's been lots of people surprised about our early success and, you know, and how well we've done this year. But we've had a lot of fun. I have a tremendous staff, Brad, and I'm very blessed to have them. And Corey Cole and Miley Carr and Aaron Scholes, they're incredible people. I love being able to come to work every day and seeing them and hanging out with them and just their support and their tireless efforts of working with our players and with this program, this university, and they all have a heart for what's right, and so that's a great thing right off the bat. And then I have, you know, we have a tremendous cast of players this year who are coachable, teachable, willing, and really together. And so that's just, you know, I think that, you know, success breeds success, and I think there's a lot of facets in there that have really laid a great foundation for what we're wanting to do.
Talking about the women's basketball program, Trent May, Talk to the Lopes with Brad Sussmat here on campus today at GCU. When you're building a program and you're making the move up in division, was it really that big of a deal in terms of going out and finding a different caliber player for you?
Well, I think sometimes people underestimate what you have at Division II. I think they see a big chasm between that Roman numeral.
Not.
And in some regards, yeah, there's just not, yeah. You know, and especially, you know, just we have a very veteran crew, and so we have 8 seniors this year, which makes it a little bit easier. But it just, you know, we just have those players who really are hungry for the game, and they just have that invested interest to get better. And so with that and with the talent that they already possessed. It just kind of made this year the transition a lot easier than starting, you know, let's say with a brand new team and, you know, a bunch of young players, and, you know, there would have been a bigger learning curve just with anybody coming to any level of, you know, college athletics. So we didn't have to really fight that curve as much, and, you know, from the get-go, our players were hungry to win.
So you didn't have to give them any, hey guys, you got to step it up. Seniors, they just knew internally that, okay, we're going to a little bit bigger stage now.
And you know, and some of our players had been at Division I institutions before, and so when you transfer down, you don't have to sit out a year. And so,
right,
you know, that does help. There's familiarity, and again, that's the part of going, you know, starting at year one, we were fortunate to have that familiarity and have that experience-based opportunity for some of our players who had already been there, and so they kind of knew a little bit what was at stake. And, you know, in our minds, you know, we are thinking it's going to be a huge jump, that, you know, it's just, man, is it going to be possible to win, you know, X number of games? And then when we got into it and started, you know, really competing, it was just like, I have the right nucleus, the right staff in place to do what we want to do, and this is going to be a worthy ride.
What's been the biggest adjustment for you this year?
Oh, I would just say, you know, it's with any year, and again, it doesn't matter the sport, whether it's just staying healthy, you know. And so we've had some unfortunate things go down with a couple of players that were key contributors to what, you know, our early success this, you know, through the season. And so, you know, not having them, but I think it's just the, you know, every place that we're going is new. Every experience is new. When you're in a conference for 7 years like we were, you know, previous to what we are now, you're familiar with everything. You know where the gyms were. You
right.
knew how to get. You just knew every detail. And so, along with staying healthy, then it's the, you know, it's like, where are we traveling? I've never been to that city. I've never
like
been
UCLA.
To that school. Yeah, that we played them in actually in Florida. You know, and it's just, you know, regardless, you know, they're kind of having a down year this year and lack of personnel, but it's still UCLA. You know, it's a down year for them. You know, still should be better than a lot of other, you know, programs, years. And so we, you know, it was a great contest. And, you know, it was one of those things, I think with 5 minutes ago in the game, we're up 12. So it's not, hey coach, good job, you played them close. It's, you know, people should be kicking me on the backside for not winning that game. Like I do to myself every day when I wake up, knowing that you had UCLA and, you know, programs like that, players like that, they made the plays down the stretch, you know, to win that game. And, you know, even though it's close, they did what they needed to do. And, you know, we learned from that. But again, it was good to watch our players compete. It doesn't matter who, it doesn't matter where, it doesn't matter when. It's that our players are going to compete, and we're going to, you know, we're going to give everyone our best shot.
Trent May is with us, the women's basketball coach here at Grand Canyon University, gcu.edu. It's always good to visit on Talk to the Lopes every week. Today at Grand Canyon University, beautiful stage set up here just outside the Starbucks, having a great time just rapping with the coach. I mentioned Charlie earlier, and she's done a great job over at ASU through the years. She always talked highly of the job that you did back when I was coaching girls' club. She's like, yeah, you've got a kid here, a kid there. Go look at Trent. Now where your program is, do you two run across the same households after the same kids?
Well, I think we did, because even in Division II, we're still looking for the best players out there. We didn't really, you know, dumb it down just because we were D2 and thought there was a kid that we couldn't go after. And so, because you never know what a kid's looking for.
Sure.
I mean, our universities are vastly different. And so that, you know, you're going to find kids who may want different things, you know, but it's still, you're going after the elite athlete. And so, and definitely now there's going to be those times when our paths definitely cross as far as, you know, who we're looking at versus they're looking at, and it could very well be the same person. And so, but that happened a couple times while we were D2 as well. And so again, because we weren't looking for that D2 kid. You know, the whole motto at Division II is you can't win a Division II national championship without Division I talent.
Yeah.
And so, you know, now that you know, D2 is in the past and D1's all forward, it's just that's the part of going, you know, we're going to cross paths for sure.
Have you in state, and you can't be specific, and I've asked Dan this too about the talent level of high school in state and club in state.
Mm-hmm.
How good is basketball in state for you to recruit from, or do you have to primarily go out of state for basketball players?
Well, you always want to first and foremost look in state. You'd like to keep kids at home, and you'd like to, you know, create your fan base and have their teammates and their families and their friends come out to games. And so you definitely want to look in your own backyard, and it really depends on the year. And that's with everywhere. You know, some years there's going to be hit and miss, and some years it's going to be, you know, a great breeding ground. And some years, you know, you're definitely going to go out of state and look. And so we like to look, just like most programs, you try to find the best players. And sometimes location isn't your main purpose. Is that, are you finding the best players that fit your program?
Mm-hmm. And so it's specifically about club here in Arizona. Is it good? Is club ball here good, or do you have to go sit and bump in gyms in L.A.?
Oh, again, it really depends on the year. Yeah. But mostly, you know, there's a great talent pool in the state of California. There's a great talent pool in the state of Texas. And, you know, so there's a lot of great club basketball out there. But, you know, Arizona does have its share as well.
How's it worked out with you and Dan?
Awesome. He's, you know, from the get-go, it's been fun to just watch his love for the university. And, you know, when he is all in, and he's, as far as a person, is one who he doesn't walk around thinking that this is his place. He shares it with everybody. Mm-hmm. And just it's fun to watch him put the assistant softball coach in a headlock. You know, it's fun to watch him interact with people. And it's not about, you know, he has a big job to do, as we all of us coaches do, and we all want the success for this university. But he's also there for just anybody who's around, you know, the athletic offices, and so he's a great people person, and love having him here.
Have you guys sat and just the two of you talked?
We have, yes, sir.
Strategy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a little bit. You know, I mean, I ask him, who'd he get dunked on by the most? No, I'm just kidding.
That's good, coach.
Yeah, you know, it's just fun. just hearing his perspective on things, and you know, obviously he's been at all levels, you know, and played at the elite level, and coached at the elite level, and so it's just fun, you know, just getting, you know, little nuggets here and there, and watching his practices, and just watching how hard his assistants work as well, and you know, they're gonna have a great program. I mean, there's no doubt, you know, and that, again, we were, like I said, we're blessed with that success of having eight seniors, and you know, and just kind of girls who had been there before. And so it wasn't a complete new experience, and so the guys are going to they're going to have a lot of success in the future, and it'll be sooner than later.
What is it about your program that when you do, whether it's this or other interviews, or when you're talking to people about GCU, that you feel like doesn't get enough attention?
You know,
what is it that's not being emphasized?
I think our university is doing a great job with its marketing. You know, I got a call from a father in Las Vegas the other day who just happened to be, he's looking for a good spot for his daughter, and saw our commercial, immediately got on our website, you know, and checked it out. And it's just one of those things you go, and, you know, and I hear people in Texas who are seeing our commercials in California. And
I see them in California all the time.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful thing. And I think that you cannot underestimate that, because all you're doing is there's a reason why you pay that money for the marketing aspect. And so I think our university is doing a great job of getting their name out there, and people are really understanding that this is a great place to be. I mean, you mentioned a few minutes ago that your daughter's here.
Yep.
You know, and it's just neat to, you know, to, so I, you know, a few years ago you wonder how many people would have looked seriously at Grand Canyon, and now it's a great place, and not just for athletes, but it's a great place for traditional students. This is a fun, vibrant campus, beautiful aesthetics, and just, you know, it's just, you know, like we're sitting in the country's largest Starbucks right now, and with a long line, and how cool is that? I love the fact that a few years ago that, you know, we didn't know about all these things that are going on, and now you can't drive on campus without there being construction on campus, which is a great thing.
Unless you're the dad trying to unload the daughter,
yeah, well,
coming
hey,
back to
hey,
campus
hey.
After Christmas
that's
break.
That's true. Yeah.
But I just told her, I said, look, you hoof it. You
that's know, right.
You're going to love these buildings.
That's
here,
right.
Because it's funny, because I think when you and I first met, it was over at the old Antelope Gym.
Correct.
And to see where the program has gone and just the facilities have gone. And when people ask me, yeah, my daughter goes here. And that's great for the Sesmat household. But from a sports aspect, in my business, when I see what's going on, there's a credibility here that when I hear the Gonzaga and the Marquette and all that conversation the last few years, I think you're well ahead of that. And me being a Southern California guy, I saw where Pepperdine was and LMU was and those types of – and the same thing is going on here, except it's much prettier here, that you don't have the ocean like Pepperdine, not to recruit against you. But my point is, what's going on here – you can't really, from an athletic standpoint, you can't really beat it. If you're going to stay in state, this is a place you should go to, I think.
Absolutely. But, you know, we'll
recruit. How do you get paid to say that?
No, yeah, and recruiting across the country. You know, in fact, we just got a little pub in the Washington Post a couple of days ago from a recruit that we're recruiting out in Baltimore. And so when she mentioned us by name, you know, that she was, you know, interested in Grand Canyon. And so, you know, that's the part about going, no matter where you're out in the country, Phoenix is a great destination place. You know, it's easy to get into. First of all, we're close to the airport. There's multiple flights that fly in here.
Yeah, yeah.
We recruit a lot in Texas and anywhere from Houston, Austin, San Antonio, and Dallas. You know, it's an easy it's an easy, it is a flight, but it's an easy flight. And so, you know, and you can find, you know, reasonable tickets, you know, throughout the year. And so when kids come on this campus and they check it out, they're pleasantly surprised with everything, the dorms, the food opportunities, the weather, there's so many things that they like about what Grand Canyon is doing. And so, you know, again, you mentioned, and the question earlier was, you know, about the recruiting aspect in Grand Canyon, and there's just so much to offer. And yes, we will continue. We're having a successful year, but we're going to have a successful campaign throughout, you know, through these next, you know, hopefully 10, 15, 20 years of what Grand Canyon's capable of doing and much more.
You're home Thursday the 30th against Chicago State. Then you have Missouri, Kansas City. I'm going to ask a question here because I think you're in Vegas for the WAC tournament this year? Yes, no.
That's where the conference tournament is, unfortunately.
Conference tournament.
Yeah, we are not allowed to participate
because of the waiting period.
Correct. Yes.
So Eric, my producer and I, we've already said we're going to Vegas because we're going to go to the Pac-12 tournament, and then we'll go to the WAC tournament. We'll go back and forth, and we'll see. So you guys are out even from the tournament standpoint.
Correct.
So that was just something I was wanting to make cleared up.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can have we have 12 games remaining. Hopefully we can have a strong run these next 12 games, and we would love to get that invitation to the WNIT, and so that is a possibility. That's something that, you know.
You can be in that.
Yes, sir,
okay.
I can. Yeah. And so that's something that, you know, our eyes are set upon, and, you know, again, we'd still like to win the WAC. We're working every day, you know, being diligent in all we can to make sure that takes place, and then hopefully get that invitation to the WNIT and make some noise in there.
You have your own show.
Not yet. Not yet.
I can walk away.
No. This is fun, yeah, and right. I appreciate you having me on. I do enjoy this, and I do have a face for this though.
Ah, listen,
It's the TV that the people kind of change the channel on.
I'll let you go off that. Thanks for coming by.
All right, man. Thank you.
Good seeing you, Trent.
Thanks for having me.
Trent May, basketball coach, Grand Canyon University. That is Talk to the Lopes this week. Brad Sussmat with you, sports360az.com. Let me take a minute to talk about Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. The people at Santan Ford make the difference. Doesn't matter if it's general manager Tim Hovick. Doesn't matter if it's over in the sales department, the parts department, finance department. There's lots of people there that when you go onto the dealership, it's not just a dealership. And Tim is involved in a lot of sports around the valley. And his staff's involved in a lot of sports around the valley. And so the next time you're looking for that car, you're looking for that truck, I would encourage you to consider Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Yes, I drive right now the 2014 Fusion. Makes a lot of sense for me with as much driving as I do going around the valley and going from place to place day to day. I've got meetings stacked up all afternoon long, and I'm going to be doing all that. And then tonight, out of my daughter's high school soccer game, driving around in the 2014 Ford Fusion from Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Sports360AZ.com, Brad Sussmat with you. You can also follow us on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. And, of course, our website. Lots and lots of people log on there and check out content that's Arizona-centric. We are Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. It's Sports360AZ.com. I said enough of the TV stuff, enough of the traditional radio stuff. I'm going to go do my own thing. It's over 2.5 years of doing it. It's a lot of fun. Appreciate Trent May coming by. And much more as we continue on at Grand Canyon University.